say, I really don't like to talk that much. I really don't. I prefer to perform than talk. Say this. The tradition of great performers from, and I really want you to hear what I have to say. The tradition of great performers from Sammy Davis Jr. to James Brown to Jackie Wilson to Fred Astaire. Gene Kelly. The story is usually the same, though. You know, these guys work really hard at their craft, but the story ends the same. They usually are broken, torn, and usually just sad. And the story is very sad in the end because the companies take advantage of them. They really do. And Sony. Sony, being the artist that I am at Sony, I've generated several billion dollars for Sony, several billion, and they really thought that my mind is always on music and dancing, and it usually is, but they never thought that this performer, myself, would outthink them. What they're trying to do, because now I'm a free agent. I just owe Sony one more album. It's just a box set, really. It's with two new songs, which I've written ages ago. Because every album that I record, I write like, literally, I'm telling you the truth, I write at least 120 songs every album I do. So I can do the box set, just give them any two songs. So I'm leaving Sony, a free agent. Sony. So I own half of Sony's publishing, and I'm leaving them, and they're very angry at me because of it. But I just did good business, you know. So, the way they get revenge is to try and destroy my album. I've always said, you know, art, good art never dies. Tola is a devil. supposed to say what I'm gonna say right now, but I have to let you in on a secret.
Say it.
Please don't videotape what I'm gonna say, okay? Turn that off, please. You know what? I don't mind. Tape it.
Michael is getting gangster today! Yeah.
Mariah Carey. After divorce and Tommy came to me crying. She was crying so badly I had to hold her. And she said to me that this is an evil man. And Michael, this man follows me, she said. He taps her phones. And he's very, very evil. And she doesn't trust him. And he is a horrible human being. And we have to continue our drive until he's terminated.
Oh! There you go!
We can't allow him to do this to great artistry. We just can't. I just want you to know I appreciate everything you've done. You've been amazing. You're so loyal, Diana. Everybody, Waldo, all the people here, I love you all. You've been amazing.
Thank you!
I love you.
The story about two, about young kids, about... Just for Metro Boomin and The Weeknd sampling you a customer
right.
for I Don't Wanna Know over again. I get 4% of that record.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I bring home $240,000 every 4 months.
That's passive income for people.
One, not from the whole, only 4%.
Right.
I'm talking about one record.
Right.
And there's no capping in this. This is how this shit works.
Yeah.
So when people look at certain things and see people out there, especially people with the publishing, that shit can feed you. You don't know when it's gonna come. But every time I look around, Bernard's friend Big Tank, he the one that do all the 50 shit. Power, you know, BMF the whole nine. Shit, stay on there.
Right.
You know, you it just comes when you're able to have it. And I split it with Parrish. My publishing, I own it. That's why I tell the story about too, about young kids, about having the publishing and how important it is to have it. That's why all that argument with all those acts, we gotta name them, that was in here fighting.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Just from Metro Boomin and The Weeknd sampling, you a customer.
Right.
For I Don't Wanna Know over again. I get 4% of that record.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I bring home $240,000 every 4 months.
That's passive income for people.
One, not from the whole, only 4%.
Right.
I'm talking about one record.
Right.
And there's no capping in this. This is how this shit works.
Yeah.
So when people look at certain things and see people out there, especially people with the publishing, that shit can feed you. You don't know when it's going to come. But every time I look around, Bernard's friend Big Tank, he the one that do all the 50 shit. Power, you know, BMF the whole nine. Shit, stay on there.
Right.
You know, you it just comes when you're able to have it. And I split it with Parrish.
Well, well, well. Hello, everyone. My name is Belinda. This is a podcast episode 31, The On-Call for Sale. Description. This episode will be about my reaction to the sale of Michael's half of his music publishing catalog, MJack, to Sony Music. I have a lot to state, so fasten your seatbelt. Not really your seatbelt, not literally, but you know what I mean. The best way to listen to this podcast is on Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. The website is michaelandthetruth.pop. MichaelTheTruthPodcast.blogspot.com. The best way to contact me is email at MJTheTruthPodcast@outlook.com. Every episode that I do, I read a fair use statement. This site/podcast contains original content that may not be authorized for use by the creator, the podcaster, which was me, is legally using original content under the fair use principles. Here's a link to Section 107 of the Copyright Act, the link I post on the show notes website. Now let's begin. I played two videos from YouTube and Instagram respectively. One, of course, of Michael's famous 2002 killer thriller speech that he did in the UK, and an episode from the podcast Drink Champs. I played it twice because I wanted people to really listen to what rapper Eric Sermon stated about publishing and the ownership of publishing. Now, the reason why I played that first is because this episode is going to be about the cell that everybody's talking about, that angered so many fans in the fan community, and it angered me because this is part of the reason why Michael's not alive today. Well, I won't even say part. Half of the reason why Michael's not alive today is because of him fighting back these people. Now, on the episode that I did sometime last year, episode 26, I read a petition that Catherine, Michael's mother, filled out, where she talks about trying to block a sale or a business transaction from happening, because if it does be out there, it will reveal a lot of stuff regarding the family. It turned out to be the sale of Michael's half of his catalog. So, of course, Michael talking about the issues with Sony is haunting now, because he mentions that he owned half of Sony, he was leaving as a free agent, and the situations he was dealing with Ty Mottola and his then wife, singer Mariah Carey, and what she was going through. So, now that that's in your head and you're seeing it now, and along with the power of publishing, why ownership of publishing rights is important from rapper Eric Sermon, we have to understand that this sale is not acceptable. And so, I want to get into what exactly is music publishing, and what exactly, and how is it different from your masters, or if you're a musician, your masters. And then I'm going to get into the trend that's going on in the music business, which is artists such as Bob Dylan, Justin Timberlake, Katy Perry selling their publishing rights. Why? And then we'll get into, like I mentioned, what the bulk of this this episode is about, the estate of the executors of his estate, of Michael's estate, selling half of his music publishing to, you guessed it, Sony. So, let's get started. Okay, what is music publishing? According to the website, blog.groover.co/en, music publishing is all about rights and royalties, ensuring that the songwriters, composers, and producers are compensated for the use of their work. Music publishing is a business of producing, protecting, and administrating copyrights for musical compositions. It involves registering musical works with a performing rights organization and collecting royalties from radio, television, and other sources. A music publishing company also promotes their copyrighted works to the public, ensures that lyrics are properly registered with the performing rights organization, and provides legal advice when necessary. In essence, music publishing is the business of ensuring that composers and songwriters are properly compensated for their creative work. Now, what is the difference between publishing and masters? Okay, alright. So, your master rights refers to the rights associated with the actual recording or master of a song. These rights are typically owned by the record label or the artist who financed the recording. When it comes to the music industry, master rights play a crucial role in determining who has control over the recording version of a song. These rights grant the holder exclusive control over the reproduction and distribution of the recording, giving them the power to decide how and where the song can be used. Okay? And so we can get into more detail. This came from the website usemogul.com/post/publishing. rights versus master rights, understand the key difference. That is the link that is read, and I'm sorry, I'm just gonna look into more information. Okay. Then it goes on the website. When you click on the link from the show notes, it also goes into, but what exactly does it mean to have master rights? Let's dive deeper into the extent of these rights and the power they hold. The master rights grant the holder exclusive control over the reproduction and distribution of the recording version of a song. This means that if someone wants to use your specific recording, they must obtain a license from the holder of the master rights. Having master rights means having the authority to decide whether the recording can be used in commercials, films, TV shows, video games, or any other medium. It also gives the holder the power to negotiate in the terms and fees of each use, ensuring that their recording is properly compensated. Moreover, master rights extend beyond just the recording itself. It also covers the artwork, packaging, and any additional content associated with the release of the song. This comprehensive control allows the holder to maintain the integrity and quality of the recording. The power of the master rights holder. Being the holder of the master rights gives the record label or artist significant control and leverage when it comes to licensing and distribution deals. They have the final say on how and where the recording is used, and they negotiate the terms and fees for each use. This power can be particularly adventurous when it comes to negotiating with other industry players. For example, if a film director wants to use the specific song, Philly accent, in their movie, they must approach the master rights holder to obtain the necessary license. This gives the holder the opportunity to negotiate for favorable terms and secure a fair compensation for the use of their recording. Furthermore, the holder of the master rights can also choose to license the recording to different territories or markets, allowing them to tap into various revenue streams. This flexibility gives them the ability to maximize the commercial potential of their recording. Okay, and then it goes on into, now we get into the key differences between publishing and master rights. While publishing rights are typically owned by the songwriters and composers, master rights are usually held by the record labels or artists. This division of ownership gives each party separate control over different aspects of a song's commercial exploitation. Revenue streams. The revenue streams for publishing rights come from royalties associated with the composition, such as mechanical, performance, synchronization, and print music royalties. On the other hand, revenue for master rights stem from the recording itself, including sales, streaming, licensing, and circulation fees. Transfer and assignments of rights. Publishing rights can be assigned or transferred to a publishing company, whereas master rights can be assigned to a record label or retained by the artist. These assignments are usually done through contracts or licensing agreements. So that's the difference right there. Okay, now we're going to get into the selling of publishing rights, the trend. And it's a short article that was done, I believe, last year from Medium.com. Or at kelljackson.medium.com, that's where it came from. Why is it so popular nowadays for artists to sell their music catalog? This was done last year, March 12, 2023. It's been quite trendy in recent years for artists to sell their music catalog. Singers like Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan, and even contemporary artists like Justin Bieber have all recently sold their music catalogs. The catalog of the King of Pop, Michael Jackson, could be next. According to Variety, Michael Jackson's estate is in the final stage negotiating a deal to sell 50% of Jackson's MJack catalog. It was reported that the Michael Jackson estate and Sony have reached a figure between $800 million and $900 million for 50% stake in the Jackson MJack catalog, which is founded by Jackson himself in 1980. If such a deal is finalized, it will be the highest in music history, making Michael Jackson's catalog the most valued in music history, overtaking the Beatles catalog. Why do artists sell their music catalog? Music catalogs are a regular source of income for musicians. Musicians sell their catalogs for the consideration of several reasons. Let me repeat that one more time. Music catalogs are a regular source of income for musicians. musicians sell their catalogs for the consideration of several reasons. One of the reasons for the selling the catalog is artists get tax benefits and receive money at once instead of waiting for many decades. Though, through selling the catalog, artists can avoid paying a 37% annual means yearly, tax to the government for their catalog. Instead, they will get a one-time multi-million dollar payout with a 20% tax. Veteran musicians always prefer this because they will get a huge sum of money while they are still well alive. Unlike other musicians, Michael Jackson's estate is already a billion-dollar empire and generates $7 million annually through projects like the MJ the Musical, Circus du Soleil production, MJ 1. There are several new projects like the release of a biopic on the pop star, which is also in the works. Any attempt to sell the catalog before the release of the proposed biopic could result in a catastrophic blunder. The catalog of the British rock band Queen gained a huge boost after the release of Freddie Mercury's biopic Bohemian Rhapsody. Considering the global popularity of Jackson, it's almost certain that Jackson's catalog will benefit in a similar way Queen did. The value of Jackson's catalog will balloon much higher than it is today after the release of the biopic. Instead of estate executive John Branca striking a deal now, He were much wiser to wait. He would be much wiser to wait unless there is some external conflict of interest. So, that's the trend that I read. Okay, then the unthinkable happened. The unthinkable happened, y'all. Let's read and calm down. If we're already there, this happened February 9th, 2024, when the news broke. Okay, the title. Sony Music buys stake of Michael Jackson's catalog, valuing rights at over $1.2 billion. The deal, which is likely worth at least $600 million, includes half of the late star's publishing and recording master's catalog. And what could be the largest valuation ever of a musician's music assets? Sony Music Group has closed an agreement to buy half of Michael Jackson's publishing and recording masters catalog in a deal that sources say valued those music assets somewhere above $1.2 billion. Other sources have suggested it might be as much as $1.5 billion. At those valuations, Sony will pay at least $600 million for its stake of the legendary rights. That means that the Jackson deal, which closed late last year, is at a bigger valuation than the $1.2 billion that Queen is currently seeking. And whereas the Queen valuation includes sources say royalties from income streams beyond the masters and publishing, including the Freddie Mercury biopic, Bohemian Rhapsody, the theatrical productions using Queen's music, Sony's deal with the Michael Jackson estate does not include royalties from the Broadway play and other theatrical productions featuring Jackson's music. It may not, however, just be Jackson music that's involved in the deal. Sources say the current deal includes non-Jackson authorized songs in his MJAC publishing catalog, which also includes approximately 250 songs, Sly and the Family Stone publishing catalog, as well as iconic songs written and or performed by Jerry Lee Lewis, Jackie Wilson, Curtis Mayfield, Ray Charles, Percy Sledge, and Dion. Last February, following a story first reported by Variety that the Jackson deal was being negotiated, Billboard estimated that the iconic artist's estate earns about $75 million annually. Those assets include ownership of master recordings, publishing of Jackson's share of his songs, his MJAC publishing catalog, and revenue from the merchandise royalties from theatrical shows featuring Jackson's music. At the time, Billboard estimated that within the $75 million estimate, Jackson's recording and publishing assets alone brought in $47.2 million to the estate, and that MJAC might be bringing another $5 million to $8 million annually. The Jackson estate estimate, however, did not take into account that his popularity appears to be growing as the streaming marketplace expands. Sales and streams of Jackson's music grew steadily from 1.7 million album equivalent streams in 2020 to 1.47 million in 2023, up to 37% over those 3 years, according to Luminate. That outpaced the overall U.S. music. Market for album consumption units, which grew 22.9% during the time period. Outside the United States, Jackson is arguably even more popular. In 2023, consumption of music grew 38.3% to 6.5 billion on-demand streams, up to 4.7 billion streams in 2021. Next year, a Jackson biopic called Mike will be released, likely fueling the even more growth for his fan base, boosting consumption and triggering more revenue to flow to his estate and other rights holders. With all the economic returns the estate is delivering, the masterminds behind it. The wording of this, but we'll never call Michael a mastermind. I just want you to just listen. Lawyer John Branca and A&R executive John McClain are expected to continue to stay involved as co-executives. Of course, they're cashing in. Of course. Sources indicate that the Sony deal also leaves in place a primary wage stake, which is believed to be about 10% of Jackson's publishing assets. Throughout the years, Sony has paid the Jackson estate more than $2 billion in some major deals that go beyond distributing royalties for his records and songs. In 1991, the company paid $100 million to buy the first half of what would become Sony/ATV. ATV Music was a catalog that Jackson brought in 1985 that contained the Beatles catalog and other popular songs. That was merged into Sony Music Publishing Operation to become Sony ATV, with Sony and Jackson owning 50% of that company. It's not 1991, it's 1995, but the media don't do research, so let me get back to what I'm saying. In 2016, the company paid $750 million for the remaining of the 50% to Sony ATV. They also paid $287.5 million for the Jackson estate share of the consortium that owned EMI Music Publishing in 2018, as well as dividends during its ownership of those assets that came out to a total of about $1.6 billion. And now, the latest deal adds another $600 million or more, driving the total amount to past the $2 billion mark. Sony has been active with acquisitions over the past year. Last year, it was reported to be acquiring what is being described as a significant minority stake in the Latin label and management company Ramos Entertainment, which launched Bad Bunny's career. The overall deal for the label and management was expected to have about $300 million in valuation, sources said at the time. In May 2023, Sony also acquired the records catalog of Barry West and Ron Perry and Matt Pincus, buying out the latter duo in the deal that was seeking a $100 million valuation, and then did a going forward 50-50 deal with West, who retained control of the label's recent catalog. Rest for Sony, the Jackson estate, and Primary Wave declined to comment. So that is the article from Billboard.com, our buddies, quote unquote buddies, at Billboard.com. So, yes. Now let's read another article that talks about this very cell. A more respectable link, MJVibe.com. You know, I always go to this website, MJ News. I go here. We're gonna read and calm down. This was dated February 10, 2024. It was a month ago. 2 months ago, I'm sorry. Last year, nearly day to day, rumors were going around that the Michael Jackson estate was in talks to sell half of its music catalog for $800 to $900 million. This is no longer a rumor but a fact. Sony Music has agreed to purchase half of Michael Jackson's publishing and recording masters catalog in a blockbuster deal valuing his music assets at over $1.2 billion, according to Billboard. Let's read a paragraph again so we can get it through your head. This is no longer a rumor but a fact. Sony Music, the same Sony Music. This part I'm about to say is not an article. The same Sony Music that Michael said was leaving as a free agent. He was on half of Sony as a free agent. Has agreed to purchase half of Michael Jackson's publishing and recorded masters catalog in a block blockbuster deal, valuing his music assets at over $1.2 billion, according to Billboard. No exact figure is known at this time, but this means Sony would likely pay at least $600 million for its stake, though Billboard reports the valuation could be as high as $1.5 billion. Regardless of the number, the Jackson Estate deal is expected to be the largest ever valuation of a musician's music assets. Sources confirm to Variety that the complex deal also includes assets from Jackson's legendary MJack publishing catalog, which include other artists such as Sly and the Family Stone, as well as hits written or performed by Jerry Lee Lewis, Jackie Wilson, Curtis Mayfield, Ray Charles, Percy Sledge, Dion, and others. However, it does not include royalties from the MJ Broadway musical or other theatrical productions featuring the musician's music. During his career and life, Michael Jackson believed in owning his rights to his music and also believed in music publishing as a profitable tool as he purchased ATV. Now ATV is in full control of Sony as the estate sold their share in 2016. Why keep saying 2026? It didn't come yet. 2016 for a deal of $750 million and today half of the control of MJack. John Branca and A&R executive John McClain are expected to continue to stay involved as co-executives of the MJ estate. The Sony/estate deal also leaves in place primary wage stake, which is believed to be about 10% of Michael Jackson's publishing assets. All parties, Sony, the estate, and primary wage declined to comment to the media. It is unclear if this is the deal that Katherine Jackson tried to block in court all last year. All court documents have been blocked out and under seal. A source close to the deal has mentioned that Michael's three children have signed off against Catherine's wish. We are not sure what it means for Michael Jackson's music and future project, but I am sure many of you feel as I feel, sad and disappointed. That's from the article. Yes. So after reading these two articles, hearing the news, I did not read. This is the first time I read both articles. I was so angry. I was so angry when I read that, because Michael did everything in his power to get away from these people. He did everything in his power to get away from Sony, from all of it. I mean, the man literally said, "I left as a free agent. I left. I'm leaving as a free agent," and this happens. They set you up with some nonsense you didn't do. You have to do a trial. You have to clear your name. And after that trial, you have 4 more years to live. They mess with your money. Now you know they offed you off things to some crappy doctor, and then this weirdo that you fired in 2006 comes out, and John Branca that comes out and say, "Hey, I am the executive of this estate. Look at this. Well, you know, this and that, and look what's going on." So what does this mean? Basically, it means that his estate, Michael's estate executors, sold half of his publishing to Sony for $600 million. But it can reach out to $1.5 billion. Now, because of this nonsense, is it possible for the heirs, that's Catherine and the children, even though the article said the children were all for the sale, but you know, going against their grandmother's wishes. But I'm gonna read another article that states something different. Well, two out of three. We'll get to that in a minute. Can they buy it back from Sony? Can they? Not sure. But an article that I posted, the link I did, and I posted a screen capture of the answer, explains something related to that. So I'm gonna click to you a link. I'm gonna click on link. I'm gonna read to you a part from the website. Merrill Lynch is like a financial company, and it's ml.com/article/telling-your-music-catalog. This is what it said. Consideration number 5. How will you manage your copyright termination rights? Under the 1976 Copyright Act, when a musician sells a copyright to a song, they can terminate the buyer's rights and claw back to the copyright into their own name after 40 years of selling it. The law requires the artist who sold the copyright to file notice of termination between the years 35 and 40 after the sale. Okay. This means that the younger artists could have a second bite of the apple, explains Michael Duffy, managing director, wealth strategist, Merle Wealth Management. For example, a young successful artist could sell their catalog today for $200 million, and then 40 years from now, terminate the seller's right and then sell the catalog again, perhaps for a multiple of the original sale. Many musicians who have sold their copyrights don't know that they have a termination right, and if they do, many have considered how to properly pass these rights to heirs, says Duffy. The statute is very specific and requires that an artist pass their termination rights through a traditional last will and testament and not through a trust structure. Failure to properly pass termination rights to their heirs result in those rights passing to default heirs that are laid out in the Copyright Act, which could end up passing a right to an heir that you intended to disinherit. Interesting. Okay. So many reactions to this sale. As you know, I posted many, many links here. Well, a couple of links from YouTube, live feeds, some videos, and even... now, this live feed is from the Black Authority YouTube channel. I can't... You know, you have to click on the link to watch the live feed. And he made an interesting point, you know... I think he did. But the whole thing... Well, he made a lot of interesting points, but... He said that, you know, he's mentioned about Joe Jackson, how, you know, Joe Jackson didn't get a lot of, money from working, you know, being manager to his sons, because he was trying to build something for them, which led to, like, you know, of course, Michael and his success and what he became. It's for your children. You don't do it for you. You do it for your children. That's what he was trying to say regarding Joe Jackson doing that for his children, which is true. He did do it for Michael and eventually for Janet. And, you know, you would think that Michael's children, who are his heirs, including his mother, but his mother she's an heir, but, you know, she's way older than Michael's children, and they are the heirs that are going to take over. You would think they will understand how important it is to keep something like these publishing rights in you, but they don't run his estate. They are beneficiaries of his estate. They are manipulated, and manipulation makes you think, well, I should do this, but I won't, or I'm told not to do it. They're not thinking the way we feel they should be thinking. They haven't been doing that for a while, but everybody ignores it because it's like, you know, we're just seeing what we want to see, instead of saying, well, shouldn't these kids do more than just want to be in the entertainment business? You have to run some kind of business. Not working, they have jobs, they do work. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm all for it. But this is a problem. And then some fans doing videos talking about it. I posted some on the show notes. And then Frank DeLeo's daughter, Belinda DeLeo, made a post on Facebook. On Instagram. That I think everybody, Facebook too, but she moved it on Instagram too, that I want people to read. I think it's interesting what she says, because, you know, we can sit here all day and, you know, shake our head about, you know, I'm not nothing against Frank DeLeo. He's not with us anymore. I'm not nothing against his family. I get it, trying to defend their uncle, her father, and you know, he has a niece that defends him too. But when I read this, I go, okay, this is what she said. Scorched earth doesn't even describe the way I'm going to go at the estate. My dad worked for years with you before his death and was told he would finally get his money that Sony owed him for Thriller. When my dad died, the estate pretty much told my mom to kick rocks, and they weren't giving her ish. Now they make this deal with Sony, the very people that owe my dad millions. Just seems a little convenient for them. John Branca, you wouldn't have a job if my dad didn't bring you back in. Joe Katz, you were literally my dad's lawyer, and he had signed you off on you helping with the estate. You are a worthless little man. So interesting. So I always thought it was a rumor that her father helped bring John Branca back into Michael's life. And oh no! Now that John Branca showed his true colors, her dad isn't going to get anything. Then I saw this, and oh boy, Fact 906. This came from Instagram. Just after this show, just listen to what I'm saying. Sony Music has begun blocking videos containing Michael Jackson's music on YouTube. This after they brought half of Michael Jackson's catalog. I kid you not, y'all. And I saw it, and I read this stuff on social media. I was like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. Now, we got to talk about the fans' reaction to it. The fans that understood what Michael was going through will never sit here and defend this ridiculous sell, because it is the reason why, most of the reason why Michael isn't even alive anymore is because of what he's been through with these evil people. Can the fan community as a whole recover from this situation? And I thought about it. Maybe. But then, I've always believed, and I alluded this a few times on the blog, when I used to do the blog, and on Twitter, and I think on this podcast, there are people in the fan community who are said supposed fans, but work for John Branca. So I saw a blog post from 2012, and I decided to save it because I knew one day I was going to use this nonsense blog post for something like this episode. The blog came from, is the link to the blog. Let me just pull it up because I need people to really understand the nonsense of this. Okay, hold on a minute. Oh, I didn't even. Sorry about that, y'all. When I saw this mess, I was so mad. Looking back at it now, the website is called MJJ Project. So MJJJ Project Justice Project.wordpress.com. This is from 2012. So I'm going to read to you what this person said, and you will see this person on Twitter posting as this so-called fan. At one point, this person, way back in 2010, was a hoax account. They supported the MJ hoax. The hoax is when you're in the fan community after Michael passed away, there are fans who believe Michael's alive, so they call it a death hoax. So MJ Project, whatever this person's name is, believed in the death hoax. It was a hoax account, so we call those people hoax. You know, hoax. Well, it was a hoax account. They had to, and they changed into a Sony, not Sony, a John Branca marketing account. All they ever do is defend John Branca, and every move this guy makes, this account on Twitter and social media defend, in their blog, defend his name. Case in point, they made a ridiculous post, and they could do as many ridiculous posts as they want as their blog, because they didn't like the way John Branca was getting attacked. They want to make it seem like the estate, which is, remember, is an entity, is not a person. The people are attacking the executives, not the estate. But here come the nonsense from this fan. So I'm going to read to you, and I screen capture what it says. And just in case they wanted to cover their tracks, it's screen capture, don't worry about it. It's July 19, 2012. I'm going to read to you what this person said. Michael Jackson fan base is aware of a derogatory statements made by certain members of the Jackson family against the executives of his estate. We are shocked and saddened that propaganda, rather than seeking avenues to address their concerns legally, have been used to gain sympathy. So, you are a fan base. Like, you don't have to agree with everything Michael's family do, but. And we know that, you know, Michael's family members, there are a few that support the estate, there are a few that do not, or rather the estate executors. Let them speak their mind if they feel that something is wrong with how Michael's legacy is done. But to do an open letter in support of two men, one is a clearly enemy of Michael's, knowing we know about John Branca and how he operated, this is very disgusting, coming from a so-called website that will defend this crooked bastard, but not in the view using Michael's image to do so. And these are the type of people that help ruin the MJ fan community, almost. Not completely, but at one point, these were the people that were taking over and trying to manipulate the narrative. about what was going on. These are the same people that actually supported the fake, the three songs from the Michael album that were not Michael's vocals, and was supporting it. Never did any updates to show any evidence it was not true. Didn't care. They just post anything that supported John Branca. This particular website and the person who ran the Twitter account under this website, the name MDD Project, continue to do that even after the sale of the catalog. This useless account on Twitter and on this website was supporting the sale. So this is what they do. We are shocked and saddened that propaganda rather than seeking avenues to address their concerns legally have been used to gain sympathy. While we most certainly support the beneficiaries of Jackson Estate, no, you don't support the beneficiary. You support John Branca. Because if you really support the beneficiaries, you wouldn't make this nonsense. Catherine Jackson and Michael's children, we equally support the executives, John McClain and John Branca. No, you support the executives only. You do not support Catherine and his children and her grandchildren, because if you really did, you wouldn't make this post. Jackson fans understand. No, you understand. Don't speak for me. As a Jackson fan, I don't support these two bastards, okay? Jackson fans understand that the task both Branca and McClain took when Michael died was staggering. Weighed in nearly $400 million in debt. Okay, let's explain that. The $400 million in debt, if you read Marco's website, gets into why that debt happened. John Branca! And with an overwhelming amount of pending lawsuits. Yeah, John Branca! The executives took the reins of the estate and went to work. Okay, that's what they're supposed to do. The estate is supposed to benefit the beneficiaries. All John Branca does whenever one of the beneficiaries, that is Catherine, have an issue with these idiots, this man keeps fighting this old woman. So what good is this executor? Okay, posthumously, the executives, have ensured that the highest grossing music documentary of all time, This Is It, two successful albums, the Michael album was not successful. It is very controversial and it almost destroyed the credit Michael's music credibility. So it was not a successful album. I don't know what the other successful album is, but that was not a successful album. Okay? The number one tour in the world, Circus of the Lame, Immortal, so millions of Michael Jackson experience video games, and are planning a huge release of the 25th anniversary of the Jackson Legendary Bad album. Although every fan does not agree with all decisions the estate has made, the executors have made, not the estate, the executors. We agree that overall, no, you agree. You agree. I don't think the executives did a good job. Even with all that, that's not impressive to me, because that would have happened regardless of who runs his estate. That would have happened because it's Michael Jackson, not because it's John Branca and John McClain putting their heads together to clean up the mess John Branca made. That's not impressive. Okay, sorry, that's not impressive. Okay, let's read this nonsense. We agree that overall the estate executives, have done well in preserving Michael's legacy. They have not. They did not do well in preserving Michael's legacy. Michael gets attacked every day. I have yet to see any ounce of defiance. They do not defend him. Don't. If you hear a cat meowing, ignore it. Okay, don't just ignore it. In addition, we agree with the state executives that false and defamatory accusations grounded in sale and a stale and internet conspiracy do nothing to promote the positive ethic Michael Jackson espoused while alive. The same Michael Jackson who said conspiracies all around me. So okay. You don't make any ounce of sense, because if you do, you wouldn't say that. Michael will never do this. He will never attack his family like this. He will never attack fans who don't agree with the executives like this. He will never do something like this. But you, this is not a fan account. This is a John Branca account. This cannot possibly be for Michael Jackson. They just mocking him at this point. Do nothing to promote the positive ethic Michael Jackson espoused while alive. Okay, the estate does not defend Michael. Executives do not defend Michael. They allow him to get trash. So show me where John Branca allows Michael to be treated with respect. Nowhere. In the 3 years, this was done in 2012, Jackson Estate is thriving nearly debt-free, and Michael Jackson Music is still at the forefront of the music industry. And that would have happened regardless of who's running his estate. I'm not impressed by stuff like that. We wholeheartedly support Michael Jackson's final wishes. His final wishes were never to... Okay, Okay, let's read this and I'll get to it. That he trusted both John Branca and John McClane to continue his message through his music. The Michael Jackson fan base thinks, see, these idiots talking for the fan community. This idiot is talking for a fan community they don't even know and respect. The Michael Jackson fan base thanks the executives for continuing to do just that with grace and dignity. Sincerely, yes, grace and dignity. Every positive thing that on Michael they don't do, but they let Leaving Neverland happen. John McClane and John Branca, Michael didn't like neither one of those men. Michael fired John Branca in 2006 and never rehired him. The will is fake. You will not talk about that because you represent John Branca. Obviously, this letter proves that. And any website that supported this crap is part of it. And the community, yeah, they blocked me before Michael died for some nonsense and unblocked it. Anyway. Who cares? They don't exist anymore. NJ Underground, NJ Project, yes, of course. And United for MJ's Legacy. MJ fans of New York City. MJ for Justice. Justice for MJ Tribute. MJ, MJ Truth Now. MJ Nason. S.O. MJ, a Canadian MJ Fan Club. The Jam Cafe. MJ Vindication 2.0. Stop Global Airware Abuse. Okay, and then they wrote some nonsense. Note to fan groups. Please sign the letter and post it at your website, blog, forums, Facebook. Who does this? This is marketing nonsense. So, we'll add your name on list. Man, get the hell out of here. So, beware. If you see this knucklehead on Facebook or social media, beware of them. Beware of them because these people are delusional and crazy. Now, Kathy is not backing down. So, of course, she responded. We're going to read a lot of articles talking about this. So, let's get to it. All for MJ Vibe. We're going to get into Catherine, the MJ Vibe reveals more details about the estate versus Catherine Ness. Case is a mess, but case that the estate asked Catherine appears to be dismissed. Then an article reading that Michael's youngest son, BG, does not want Catherine to appeal against the estate, and Catherine refuses to back down from the estate. I want to see. Okay, let's go. Let's see what it says here. This is the first time reading these articles. I'm just going to read it. Okay, this is dated February 15th. Title, more details revealed about the estate versus Catherine Jackson's case. New court documents from the estate versus Catherine Jackson have emerged regarding the secret deal, which is now obviously to sell 50% of Michael Jackson's music catalog, MJAG, to Sony. Catherine has revealed that two of Michael's children have objected to the deal, but despite their rebuttal, the judge granted the motion and approved the deal. The proposed transaction is approved, and the executives are authorized and instructed to take all actions necessary to implement the proposed transaction, including but not limited to signing all contracts and performing all obligations required of the estate. Let me stop there. I remember a lot of the one idiot fan stated that the children supported the sale. Now we read this article that clearly states two out of three do. What do you say now? That's right. But Catherine Jackson appealed the decision. In her filing, Catherine and her legal team argued that executives have no power to call the estate to enter into proposed transactions. She said Michael's will directed the executives to transfer all of his assets into the Michael Jackson Family Trust. Catherine said Article 3 of the last will of Michael Joseph Jackson executed July 7, 2002, quote, gives Michael's entire estate to the trustee or trustees, then acting under the certain amended and restated declaration of trust executed on March 22, 2022 by Michael as trustee and trustor, which is called the Michael Jackson Family Trust, the trust, with all such assets being held, managed, and distributed as part of the said trust according to its terms. Requiring the trustees to administer, hold, and distribute the trust estate pursuant to the provisions of said trust. The beneficiaries of the trust are Michael's children and mother. Michael's mom said that the executives have not transferred all the assets to the trust. In her filing, Catherine said the executives and the probate judge all relied on Article 5 or V, well, that's 5, of Michael's will. Article 5 said that the executors have the right to sell Michael's property upon terms as my executor shall deem best. Her lawyer said by relying wholly on Article 5 while ignoring Article 3, the proposed transaction orders violates the black letter law governing the interpretation of wills, including probate code. Catherine said her son's assets have remained in the estate and have not been transferred to the trust as instructed in the will. In addition, Catherine said Paris and Luigi Blanket objected to the deal. She said Paris' son Prince deferred to the probate court. Michael's intention is crystal clear. Article 3 states in plain language that the entire estate shall be given to the trust. The motion read, the proposed transaction does not give the entire estate to the trust. It does not give most of the estate to the trust. It gives none of the estate to the trust. Catherine said the probate just said if Michael wanted to exclude the musicello from the sale, he could and should have said so. Michael's mother said, but Michael did say, he said in Article 3, which directs that the entire estate redacted, and is going to the family trust. She said the executors were not entitled to sell the music catalog. Her motion read, until the estate, including the music catalog, is transferred pursuant to Article 3 of the will and the law governing executors, the executors have a contractual, legal, and fiduciary duty to preserve the estate of the benefit of the trust beneficiaries. The executors were ordered to respond to Catherine's appeal brief by January 30th. No response was filed under the due date. The sale of the music catalog was announced on February 9th. It is unclear if Catherine and the executors reached a deal before the news of the sale was announced. Okay, this is craziness. Let's go. Next article. So, and it's interesting, she said that the children, two out of the three, rejected the deal. But when Catherine's financed for over a year, where was this rejection from the children? There were none. Now it's two out of three. I hope it's true. March 8th, 2024, that's the date of the article. The estate asked that Catherine's appeal be dismissed. According to court documents, John Branca and John McLean asked a California appeals court to reject Catherine's recent petition. They said the proposed transaction could net the estate over $400 million. $400 million. If you keep selling his stuff, you won't have these problems. If you stop selling his stuff, you won't have these problems, Branca and McLean, but whatever. The executors asked the court to dismiss Catherine's concerns. They said she had a history of objecting to I'm laughing because of the nerve of these idiots. I mean, so she's supposed to accept everything you do because you're the executors? Get out of here. Objecting to deals they secure. McLean and Branca, pointing to the concert film, this is it, which they said pulled a $60 million advance and a substantial back end of the estate despite Catherine's objection to the project. Yes, because that's the project where her son passed away. Rehearsing a concert where her son looked like he was going, looked like he wasn't sleeping. So she thinks that she wants something like that out there of her child. This is their mind. Catherine testified that she did not like the deal. She said Paris and Blanket were on her side, or BG were on her side. In the end, the court granted the executor's motion despite Catherine's testimony. The judge said McLean and Branca could move forward financing the deal. The order stated the proposed transaction is approved and the executors are authorized and instructed to take all action necessary to implement the proposed transaction, including but not limited to signing all contracts and performing all obligations required by the estate. She said that the executors had no power to cause the estate to enter the proposed deal. All signs point to the deal being the recent $600 million deal in which the executor sold half of Michael's music catalog to Sony. The deal was announced February 9th. In her appeal, Catherine's lawyer mentioned that the music catalog for the first time in public filing. They noted that the probate judge ruled that if Michael had wanted to include the music catalog from sale, he could and should have said so. Catherine argued Michael had done that in the will despite the judge's interpretation that he hadn't. In newly filed response, McLean and Branca claimed Michael Jackson's will gave them full authority to sell his property. Mind you, the will is fake. You know, let me make this clear. Let me start right here. Michael had this catalog, and his catalog, and when he was alive, and never, ever, ever wanted to sell neither one of these catalogs. Now that he's deceased, and this will, what I told, we already told you, was fake, comes, it says out of nowhere, yeah, you can go ahead and sell that stuff. Make it make sense. They are argued. The lawyers argue over the past 14 years, the executives have exercised their powers with extraordinary care and extraordinary diligence with extraordinary results. As the, this is their decision! As their probate court recognized in this decision below, what started out as nothing but debt and substantial ongoing obligations have turned into a $2 billion estate. Yes! Yes, John Franklin, yes! Put your Superman cape on. I'm going to go clean the debt I created, Michael! And make it seem like, hey, look at me. I helped Michael out and did the right thing. So, hey, give me props, okay? Okay, look, I got your son out of debt. Yeah. Yeah, that you put him in before he died. Okay. They continue. If Michael wanted to restrict the power of his executives to sell his estate property, he could have said so. Instead, he did just the opposite. He especially gave them full power to sell estate property as they deemed best. Yeah. According to a fake will. Regarding assets not being transferred to the trust, the executive said that it was due to an ongoing tax dispute with the IRS. They stay getting in trouble with this IRS. What's going on, John Franklin? You can't get your shit together with this IRS. I don't mean to curse my podcast, but you cannot get your stuff together with this IRS. Why do you keep putting my man's nonsense, my man's stuff in this IRS crap? What's going on, John Franklin? What is your deal with this IRS? They say even if the assets were held in the trust, they have the power to sell them. In addition, the executives point out that Catherine had not objected to previous sales by the executives of Michael Jackson's assets. Paris and Blanket raised objections. Michael's other son, Prince, said he had no issues with the deal after spending a significant time, countless hours, educating himself about the transaction. The same, you know, let me stop here. You know, I would never thought that he would be the one. I would just, honestly, I expect the daughter to do something like this. But Prince? This? What are you talking about, dad? I need to spend some significant time and countless hours educating myself. About what? Your generation while going to a very record label that did number promise you that it? What's wrong with you? Blanket told the court the transaction might be a good business deal, but he objected on emotional grounds. Paris testified via Zoom. She said she was with her grandmother and little brother, BG, on this reacted. Brad's daughter then left the feed. Catherine said Paris and Blanket were both on her side, despite all the probate judge sided with the executives. As a result, the executives asked that Catherine's appeal be dismissed. Oh, God. So, let's keep reading. Oh, man. Then it gets crazy. Okay, let me see if, I just want to make sure I do this, correctly. Give me a minute, I want to make sure that, okay, so, okay. Then it gets weird. VG Jackson does not want Catherine to appeal against the estate. Now, when this hit the news, my sister came to me and she was like, Belinda, did you hear about a Blanket? I said, he's fighting with his grandma. What? Blanket don't fight nobody. He don't talk. He don't know. So what are you fighting his grandma for? Let's read and just go. This was from March 22nd, 2024. This is over a month ago. Weeks ago. By now, I'm sure you saw it read. All the tabloids saying that VG is taking Catherine to court over the estate recently. And you know what tabloid was on that? Chicken on rice? TMZ. You guessed it! TMZ! Yes! Those bastards made sure to go spread that mess around. Because you know TMZ and John Branker are buddies. Oh, right. You didn't know that? Okay. Let's read again. By now, I'm sure you saw or read all the tabloids saying that BG/Blanket is taking Catherine to court over the estate recent secret deal, which is clearly the sale of Michael Jackson's catalog to Sony. As you read on MJ Vibe, while Prince stands next to the estate, BG and Harris took Catherine's side. But on Monday, he filed a court document saying that there's no point in appealing against the estate. It is readily apparent that a reversal on an appeal would be an extreme long shot given those odds. BG decided not to waste his resources to participate on an appeal. Nonetheless, Catherine has decided to appeal the the court's ruling. That decision is not for the benefit of the heirs. As for the tabloid saying he doesn't want the estate to pay Kathleen's legal fees, that's not correct. He argued that the estate should in fact pay her legal fees for her initial opposition of the deal, arguing that she has presented essential evidence about the proposed transaction, and that all heirs and beneficiaries benefited from this court scrutiny. But he also argued that the actual dollar total she has requested might be high, and questioned whether she had really needed to hire four lawyers charging fees of $840 to $1,400 per hour. And he argued that any legal fees for that ongoing appeal should be entirely denied, since the ruling allowing the deal to proceed had been reasoned and detailed. Kathy's petition has the practical effort of requiring BG and his siblings to pay for her appeal. He wrote, "It would be unfair to make those beneficiaries shoulder on this burden when they expressly decided an appeal would not be in their best interest." In conclusion, BG has gave up the fight against the estate, and this court case might have damaged the relationship between members of the Jackson family. This is sad, but this is not a shock, because way back in 2012, remember, TJ went against his grandmother when his grandmother said, "Don't get guardianship of the children because I'm fine, I'm coming back." This is when the family was having beef and they couldn't find Kathy, all that stuff. And TJ went against his grandmother. And this reminds me of that. I don't know what's going on with these kids. I really don't know what makes them think they can do this. This is the only woman next to your father that actually cared about you. And I don't even know what to say at this point. When I read that, it's just like, well, you really can't say that's not the case when it is the case. I mean, when you say it's not the case, yeah, you want to get the details, but the way it looks and perceived, this is something he could have told his grandma privately. He didn't have to do this. He didn't have to go this far. So, the manipulation, and I, like I said earlier in this episode, the manipulation these kids went under is manipulation. This is not something they would do to their father, their grandmother, like this. And then Kathryn refused to back down from the estate. This is dated March 26, 2024. After BG stated in court that he doesn't think the estate should pay for Kathryn Jess's appeal to the secret deal MJ sold to Sony, Kathryn Jess is fighting back on the comment against the estate refusing to pay her legal team. In her newly filed motion, Kathryn said despite the executive's claim, her petition did identify the source from which the request payment should be made. Her lawyer added, "It seems clear to her that the executors are holding all of the assets in the estate in order to keep control over them and to avoid more liberal distribution requirements of the trust." In addition, Kathryn argued that the estate is currently holding something in the range of $1.5 billion. She said, "This vastly exceeds the potential liabilities and leaves hundreds of millions of dollars available for the remainder beneficiaries." She claimed that the executives cannot in good faith contend that the estate does not have sufficient funds to allow the trust to make the request payment. This just has yet to rule. So that's it for right now. That's all the news of that situation for now. And you know, when this dumb TMZ ran with this story, this is why when Kathryn said in the episode 26 I mentioned, in the petition she did, she said she didn't want this to be out there because it will cause scrutiny to her family. You've seen it now with this lost grandson of hers saying this nonsense and not understanding, you know, why do you care what if she has followers or that? You could get that money back. It's nothing to you. You've been rich your whole life. You can get that money back. It's not going to bother you. I mean, the legal fee they have to pay for Kathryn's legal fees, you can get that money back. I mean, that's not 800 something to 1,000 something per hour. Okay, you can get that money back. This catalog, you can't get back. There's no evidence of you getting that back. And remember what the rapper Eric Sermon stated about, he just owned 4% of that song, and the royalties from that song, you don't get it back immediately, but eventually you will. And then how much he gets paid, $240,000 every 4 months. I mean, that's just one part of a song. one part, 4% of the song he owned. Not the whole song, just 4%. So the benefits of owning your publishing is high, you know, but yet their father, you know, the Jackson Children, their father is a mega, beyond mega star. I mean, his album sold, it's a billion copies sold. Like, I can't even imagine how one song goes, publishing right point of view. I mean, it's insane. And it's like, that's where we're like, why would you not support yourself getting, this is your generational wealth. You know what I'm saying? This is money you can live off for the rest of your life. When you have kids, the rest of their lives. Michael's going to be popular forever. And I think the kids don't see that. And what is the root to all this? What is the root to this nonsense they're dealing with? I think when... And I know what I'm going to say sounds a little weird, but I think when they rely so much on certain family members and how they live their lives, they didn't have that life themselves. It wasn't a normal life. Like, when Prince did an interview with Mike Tyson, he said that he did not live a normal life. He kept dwelling on not living a normal life. And it's like, forget all that. What are your values? And this is what I was thinking. What are your values? What are the core values your father taught you? That's the most important thing. Not living this up, not having a normal upbringing, which normal, whatever normal means to you. But they can't seem to get out of that, to me anyway, they can't seem to get out of that mindset of normalcy, which is not existing, doesn't exist in their world. You're not like everybody else because you're uber rich. Your father was the biggest star of all time. You can't be like everybody else. It's just not happening. You were homeschooled most of your life until you passed away and you went to regular, well, private school. You did go to college and connect with everybody, and you managed to have what you call a normal life, but you're never truly normal because you're a celebrity via to your dad. You're a nepo baby. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense. And so I just think that his children, they don't know who they are. You know, a lot of people were coming at these kids on social media. I didn't read any of it. But my sister told me, Belinda, they were trashing them kids. I said, you know what? I'm not defending them. But I can't keep doing this. I always say I wish his children the best, and I do. But when you go and you want to promote Lies at the MJ musical, you go all the way to the UK to go to the premiere at MJ musical. And I said that even though I don't support the musical because it's not true, I'm all for, you know, coming at his haters. Okay. But at the same time, they don't have this energy to go and team up with their grandmother and make sure the generational wealth is not being sold to the very record label that gave Michael so many problems. And it seems like, you know, when you read when Prince said, you know, I support the deal, but I want to really educate myself before I go ahead and this or that. Educate yourself on what? I don't get it. And then the daughter said, yeah, she doesn't support it. But then that was it. Okay, I'm going to go log off this Zoom interview and just leave. It's like, do you get it that this is your... This is your generational wealth. People are trying to attack your estate, trying to take from your estate. Keep something. Neverland's not yours. The half of the Beast catalog is not yours anymore. The EMI catalog that Michael owned is not theirs anymore. I read the article and mentioned that. And now half of MJAC is not theirs anymore. What else are they going to lose? They're going to lose the Hemingway's house? Now, the biopic is coming out next year, and don't you think you would need this, you would need to the catalog, because the songs are going to be popular when they play in the movie. But ironically, the movie will be distributed by Universal Studios or Universal Pictures worldwide, and Sony will distribute the music because Michael's a Sony artist, and now that they have half of his publishing right back, Well, now they own it. They don't. It's not back, but they own it. It's like interesting. So it's all done. You know, to really hurt Michael. Now I saw a thread on Twitter, and give me a few minutes. I'm going to go and log into social media real quick so I can read the thread, because now with X you have to have an account to read. So you can't read stuff out of the stuff anymore. So let me. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm just. If you hear me clicking, I'm trying to log into social media right now. And I'm going to read a thread where it talks about how the estate, in my opinion, the estate is destroying Michael's legacy. And the reason why I'm saying that is because it seems like every time if there's something good on Michael or whatever, these executives will find a way not to honor this guy. You know what I mean? Not to do right by this guy. I already told you that, you know, they allow a lot of nonsense to be done on Michael and said about Michael. But, you know, they are okay with Michael's name being destroyed. So I'm going to read a thread of someone made on Twitter. Hopefully he's there. They didn't block me. I ain't into them. But you never know. A lot of these fans are weird. So if I don't get a chance to see it, it's probably because they blocked me. But let's see. Let me go ahead and click on the link so I'll see if they didn't block me. I don't know. Let's check. Okay. So let me see. Okay. So, random thread of MJ documentaries that got scrapped. Now, on this thread, a fan on Twitter X posted a thread of all the documentaries that were released, that were supposed to be released, that never got released or got scrapped. I'm going to read to you one by one what they are, and I post a link to that thread on the show notes so you can check out what they are. And remember, the estate executives own his likeness, okay? Number one, Our Vacation with MJ. So this is a documentary of the time when Michael went on vacation with Macaulay Culkin. Macaulay Culkin became friends with this young boy, and he wanted to go on vacation, and Macaulay Culkin wanted to go with him, but he said the friend told him, "Why don't you bring a friend with you?" And the friend turned out to be Michael Jackson. Some of these clips in the documentary, I think, was on Michael's video short film, you know, Prior to Life thing. It's not called Prior to Life, sorry, Private Home Movies. But anyway, a trailer was released and the estate stopped that for coming on. Number two, Invisible documentary. No update since this man's tweets, but Ronnie have confirmed he documented all sessions. Now, I did an episode on this podcast talking about this. So I'm going to read it again. And you take how you take it. This is what the guy said. "Yes, I am still great friends with the family. Just got done working on Janet's new album before she went on tour. Matter of fact, I'm editing some never-before-seen mic footage as we speak. They'll never know, and very competitive. His favorite song back in the day was No Diggity by Blackstreet. But y'all will find out when the documentary comes. Oops, I said too much. Good day, y'all. When's it coming out, bro? It's up to Rodney." Now, Rodney Jerk has confirmed, like this person said, confirmed that this documents were documented. Now, another thing, the episode I did in episode 26, I talked about this. Number three, Bad World Tour on the Road, late 80s. And I talked about this because it was supposed to happen. Remember, I think it was episode 26 on my podcast, and I talked about how John Branca said that there was no footage of anything of the Bad ever, all that, besides the ones that's out there now. And I remember thinking, I don't know, that's true. And the others were like, well, wait a minute. What are you saying, John Branca? So, particularly knowledgeable and were an invaluable part of my education. Just watching them grade, then asking questions at the right moment was a great way to learn. I was reading what this guy was saying. His name was, I think his name was Joe Pecky. And he talked about this in some article or something. So I'm reading what he stated. And I read this before on my podcast. So it said the concert was shot in a mixture of 35 millimeter and 16 millimeter film. It seemed as at times they were shooting film for fun. The crew filmed two nights out of the 5 Wembley Stadium gigs. Film was also fed from the earlier tour legs, Australia, Japan, and Europe. Okay. So there's gonna be more of that. Number 4, Random Thriller 40 TV special. Different from the thriller, official thriller documentary done by the estate. Number 5, History 25 was supposed to be a whole era like Bad 25, but they used COVID as an excuse. Of course they did. And then I made a post stating that there was a documentary called Marrying Michael Jackson that was supposed to come out in 2020, but it never did. So, you know, that's and there's more. And then someone made a post, don't forget this, not a documentary, but still there were flyers in all of the This Is It DVDs and still got tackled by the estate. It's a Soul Train documentary that featured Michael. Of course, the estate would do that. And then there was more, sorry everyone, I'm just looking for, okay, and then I saw this post on Twitter. This is in response to, now who posted this statement was Damian Shields, of course, a fan of, MJ fan that I, back in some years ago, he did a book called Escape Origins, and I did a review of his book. Anyway, it's a website called DamianShields.com. One of the very few people who did extensive work on the MJ fake songs. So he posted a statement that Howard Weissman, who's now deceased, he's a lawyer, he was a lawyer for the estate, executive, stated about a documentary that was supposed to be released that documented his Michael's final photo shoots for Le Mono, Vogue, and Ebony. This is from 2007. This is what Howard Weissman said. An attorney for the Jackson State says that the footage in the in question is private and owned by the estate. The makers of the documentary are attempting to exploit footage and photographs of Michael Jackson, which we believe were are owned by his estate. Weissman says the documentary contains footage of Michael during private moments that he never agreed could be publicly and commercially exploited. Without his consent and or involvement, Michael never authorized or approved the use of this material in the film. Okay. That is not true, because in the clip of that documentary, you will see and hear Michael tell the person how to photograph him. So that's not true. And that was the last photo shoots documentary. You know, and I posted some more videos on the show notes of the catalogs that Michael owned, Michael's interview he did with Fox News in 2002 after he called out the estate. Ty Mottola back in 2002. Of course, his famous speech he did, and then a video of the tragedy of Michael's Invincible album, and other things. Sorry about that. So what does this mean for the legacy, for Michael's legacy? I mean, it's sad, you know. I was so upset by this show, and so many fans defending it. And I said, what happened to this fan community? We were not like this. And when I saw the video of the protest Killer Thriller way back in from 2002, and it was a sign that a fan made called Sony Kills Music, and it reminded me of what the fans used to be before he died. We were not supporting anyone connected to the business, the music business world. I never heard of John Branca at that time. I never heard of him. And, you know, we didn't know who these people were. We were upset that Michael was getting screwed over, and we supported him. We didn't care. We didn't care. What happened to those fans? Are we still there? It seems like once Michael died, everything changed. Everything changed for, I don't really want to say the worst. I don't recognize this fan community anymore. And, you know, it's hijacked. And how long has this fan community been hijacked? I might never know. I have never seen, like, to read that nonsense from that website, blog, whatever you want to call it, of defending two horrible men that never cared for Michael's legacy or well-being, that it angers you. I mean, why would we do this? Why would we sit here and constantly talk about people like this if there's no truth to it? Did they not listen to what Michael been through with Sony? Like, the man was fighting for his money, for what is his. Because when he was at Motown, he never got his royalties. And we know that horror story with that. He is trying to get his stuff back. And he never did. He's not going to let that happen with Sony. And to see people okay with the sale just so because you want Michael to look good to the media, reality check. Michael will never be respected by these people. Get it through your thick skull. Stop wanting him to. I don't want Michael to be liked by these people. I want Michael to be treated with respect. They're not going to do that for him. So why do you care? Why do you care about things like that? And that's where the disconnect is at with these fans. I don't think they get it. They think a biopic is going to change the way people think of Michael Jackson. Are you stupid? You know how stupid you sound? You can't reason with these people. They're delusional. They're delusional. And I often say, yeah, I support a lot of stuff fans do for his legacy. But the more I think about it, you know, what am I supporting? You don't really care about this guy. I mean, you just like him because he didn't act like a lot of people you wouldn't care about. Regardless of race. You don't care about this guy. You don't. If you really care about this guy, real talk, you wouldn't even support anything these executives do. You would have just told those executives to go somewhere. You know, but I don't know. And as far as this man's family is concerned, we can sit all day and wish his kids the best, and we do wish his kids the best because they're lost, and they're going to be lost for a long time. But there's really nothing we can do. Their generational wealth is just going to be gone at this point. I mean, I'm not impressed by the debt. Those things mean nothing to me because you need to have something that continues to come and grow. And it's getting rid of somebody's debt is not impressive. Of course, you have to get rid of debt because he's not living to spend the money. And so, of course, you're going to say that. It's very disheartening. And it's kind of, when you read this stuff, it's despicable how they make it seem like Michael spending money, stuff of his own, and it becomes debt because we're all in debt in some way. It makes it such a bad thing. When it's how's it a bad thing? And you know how, you should know if you read Marco's website, how the debt even happened to Michael, and he desperately wants to get rid of this John Branca person. And to read what that fan said, that Michael's last wishes was this or that, it's laughable. It's laughable. You know, and then, you know, when Frank DeLeo's daughter said that, I didn't even know Frank had anything to do with John Branca coming back in Michael's life. So now I feel some type of way about this guy, even though he's not living. I feel some type of way. But you know, she got played too. Her mother and her got played too. It's a lot. It's a lot of things to think about. You know, I am going to do an episode about all of Michael's business ways because I've been wanting to do it for a while anyway. But this sale and is really throwing me off. I'm still hurt by this. You know, a lot of people say this is what killed Michael. This is what partially killed him, or mostly killed him, was, you know, making sure he's out of the way so they can do what they want. And everything that happened with the selling is happening. I read a tweet from one of the Branca marketers, and she stated that John Branca then is not going to sell Neverland, not going to sell the catalog, not going to sell something else, I forget. And boy, when you see that tweet, I posted that tweet because that came from Marco's website. I posted that tweet, and how, you know, it just, that tweet just did not age well at all. It was just like, wow. Because they want you to focus, really, they want fans to focus on these two idiots that keep lying on him. And they want you to put your energies on a trial. And I mentioned in episode 26 that we're going to, you know, I want fans to go follow the trial. Not for entertainment reasons, but because to know what's going on. But I'm really starting to take that back. I think MJ fans should start questioning why this is even happening. Because the more you see these are distractions, and you realize the trial, the biopic, the MJ musical are distractions from what's really going on, the more you start to realize, okay, I see. And that's how I'm starting to see what all this is. I'm not eating up the chicken wings that, you know, the trial is happening because we gotta focus on it. No. I think the trial is distraction from what was really going on. But that's my view now. So, any more updates on this sale, you'll know about it. I probably will not talk about it on the podcast. I'll move on to other stuff. I mean, the only thing I can tell fans to do is continue to love Michael. That's all. That's what true MJ fan. We gotta make it clear. When I say fans, I'm not talking about, you know, true MJ fans. The true MJ fans are gonna always be there for Michael. I don't care if you were here during the trial or not. That's irrelevant now. Where I'm talking about, when you learn from his life and you see what he's been through, you cannot. And now that we live in a time where the media entertainment isn't even questioned anyway, this show angered a lot of people who are not in the enclave of the MJ fan community that are MJ fan, but not part of nonsense. I hear you. I wish it was y'all. But anyway, who are angered by this cell. I'm telling you, this cell is a slap in the face to everything Michael stood for. I'm so angry it happened. I'm reading that. It just makes you want to punch somebody in the face. And, I mean, you know, I know that Catherine was supposed to contest the will in 2009, and for some reason did not. That still does not mean that this sale should have happened. Regardless of who's the executor, I think it happened because these things keep happening to Michael regarding his legacy because the wrong people are running it. If it was anybody else, I doubt they would sell the catalog. I doubt they would go by that will as a real will. But, you know, what can we do? There's nothing we can do. In order to get rid of the executor, he has to pass on, or they have to pass on, or they decide to step down. And that's not happening anytime soon. And also, there's no way they can buy it back. There's, like, no real concrete answer in that. So, I hope, honestly, that they do not sell, the other half of the publishing rights. Because right now, you know, the only thing they own as an asset is the name, as a Havenhurst house, and publishing rights, and the half of MJack publishing rights. I don't know what else is his that they have, because the executor keeps just selling away like they're brownies. like their cookies, like their cakes, like their food. It doesn't mean anything to this guy. You know, he's making deals with Sony anyway, so that's on court record. That's on court document. That's on record. And he don't care. It's like, you know. Because, I mean, he wants to view himself as Michael's savior and not an executor doing right by the beneficiaries, which he'll never do right by. He's happy that, you know, BG, Michael's lost son, is having issues with his grandma over this. This is entertainment to him. Any fan that finds this okay, that BG and his grandmother is even fighting, you're twisted at this point. I'm pissed off that they're fighting because, you know, BG was the quiet one. He doesn't talk. He's not even on social media. And at one point, was the little one. Maybe he was little. And I was like, oh, you know. And now he's a grown man. He's 22. He's about to graduate college, I think next month. And this is how you treat your grandma? It's a lot. It's a lot. I hope these men shouldn't find a way. And Catherine should know that we support her. I support Catherine's fight for her son. I know I said on Twitter, this is, you know, Catherine's the only one that truly loves her son. She is, on a few. I do believe Michael's children love their father very much. I don't question that. I don't even remotely question it. I think their loss, and like I stated, it's all about, they compare their lives, in my opinion, they compare their lives to their fellow nepos, like their cousins and their Hollywood, you know, friends or whatever. They compare their lives to them. Oh, it's nothing like my dad. But that's the beauty about your life. It doesn't have to be. And you learn so much being his child. But they don't see that, in my opinion. They don't see the benefits because they only see, oh, that wasn't me. Well, it doesn't have to be. You know, you could have run a fantastic business of just loving your father's music and honoring his legacy, but you rather let people sell it. And, you know, it's sad. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Try your best to enjoy. My suggestion is to read the articles, get to know more about it. And, you know, hope and pray that no more stuff from Michael's catalog is sold, because this ain't right. This is not right at all. So, the next episode is going to be an interview. Get ready for that one. I'm going to work on that very soon. So, and today's date that I'm recording this is April 7th and 8th, 2024. Okay, I hope you guys have a good day. Take care of yourself, and God bless. Bye.